Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio. I'm thirsty. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
KAYT listeners, help us welcome 100.1 FM in Lake Charles, Louisiana. I know a man named Jesus, and he's you just tuned in to the outreach ministries of the Mount Calvary Baptist Church, located 320 Daspit Street in Alexandria, Louisiana. Reverend Ronnie Humphrey Sr. is the pastor. We are a church of the living word, preaching and teaching the word, thereby fulfilling God's command as stated in Mark 16:15 to go therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. At Mount Calvary Baptist Church, leading to others is the church's first priority. Now join Pastor Humphrey in a sermon already in progress.
Father God, Lord, as we come, God, all unit on one accord. God, we come this evening to say thank you. Lord, as we come to lift your holy name, God, we say thank you for being God all by yourself. Lord, I pray this morning, Lord, that you hide me behind your cross, Lord, so that I may decrease. And Lord, that your word may come forward and that it may increase in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I pray that you let the meditation of my heart, let the words of my mouth, and the meditation of my heart be accepted into your sight, O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I can't lie to you, my heart is full. But the Holy Spirit is good. I'd like to first acknowledge God. Because if you would have told me 6 months ago I'd be preaching this gospel, I probably would have told you I know it, but I ain't. But I'd like to give thanks to God, to the Lord Jesus Christ, and to the Holy Spirit. To this Mount Calvary Baptist Church family. To all my family, my friends and visitors, to this pulpit, preaching gospel pit behind me. But last but not least, to my pastor, the Reverend Ronnie Humphrey Sr. God anointed his heart to allow me to stand in his space. And you know, when you standing into a man's preaching space, you have to be somebody prepared. Ronnie, I love you. I thank you, God bless you, and may he keep you, and may we have many years to praise God together. To my mother, the 5'4", to my other mother, the 5'6", most people don't have the privilege to even know one parent, but I'm blessed to have two. I have my biological mother and my mother from Jesus Christ. So I got two. I also got a brother from another mother back there, Michael Williams. And I call Michael's name because Michael lives in Killeen, Texas. I talked to Michael at 10 o'clock last night. He was at work in Killeen, Texas, him and his fiance. Michael drove all night long to come worship. So God, I thank you. To Mauritius, I'm gonna tell you, you can have your seats, but let me tell you this, I love y'all. I labored 16 and a half years with you. I appreciate all that y'all do, and thank you for your kindness and your generosity. Amen? Amen. Now, the business we came here for. Let us uplift. I have a word from the Lord that I'd like to uplift with you. And it's, before I tell you our text, it's a two-part series, but it's very short. We're going to go to one part that we'll stay in, and the other part have two or three verses in it that I need to connect God's word so that we can get some understanding, okay? The book of Acts in the New Testament. We'll go to the book of Acts, chapter 9. And it'll begin at the first verse when you hear it, book of Acts, chapter 9. And our other reading will come from Acts, chapter 26. But let's, in Acts chapter 26, it will be verses 19 and 20. But you can stay in Acts chapter 9. I'm not going to ask you to flip-flop. I'm going to just tie it in, and we'll be out of here because I'm hungry. See, my pastor told me he don't preach on a full stomach, so it must be all right. He do a good job. Amen. Acts chapter 9, we're going to read from 1 through the 8th verse. And if you're ready, say amen. Our reading comes as, and Saul, yet brethren, breathing out threatenings and slaughters against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. Verse 4 says, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecute thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thee thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. Now we'll flip over to Acts 26. And like I said, I'm going to ask you to turn through this during the sermon. You just can understand where we're coming from. 26, I'm going to read the 13th verse and the 19th and 20th because they ties in. At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining around about me and them which journeyed with me. And now we drop down to 19. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles that they should repent and turn to God and do works meant for repentance. You may have your seat. And this morning we'll use for a subject, changing directions in the middle of the road. Changing directions in the middle of the road. Now, there are two definitions in the Holy Bible. You don't look for this. I'm fixing to tell you something. Acts chapter 9 speaks about the conversion of Saul. And the Holy Bible definition for conversions means to change, to turn from something. And the word repentance in Acts 26 and verse 20, the Holy Bible definitions of repentance is being sorry for sin. Amen. They're two different things. Amen? So, this man from Tasha, he was a missionary man. He journeyed up and down the highways looking for Christians to persecute. His whole demeanor was to slew the Christians of God. He had no use for the Christianity. He had no use for nothing but to kill men and women, the text says, to prevent them from being able to worship. In fact, Saul said himself, and about Acts chapter 19, he says that stoning Stephen was good. Stephen, and I'm not going to, you don't have to, I'm going to stay right here. In Acts chapter 8, Stephen was a worker for the Lord. He did nothing but uplifted the name of Jesus Christ. And Stephen, the Bible says that when he was being stoned, said he gazed up into heaven and he saw the Lord standing at the right hand of the Father. Now see, now that's very interesting, because nowhere else after the ascension of Jesus Christ does it say that he's standing. He's always sitting at the right hand of the Father. So Jesus Christ had favor with this brother, that Saul so boldly said that stoning him was good. Now I'm just trying to show you the heart of a man. What sin can do to us. The devastating effect that it has. Sin is a dangerous thing. It's a thing that can be prevented a lot of the times, but controlled by God. Saul even went and persecuted the church in Jerusalem. He got on his horse with a couple of his buddies and he went down to persecute the church. Remember, people, for doing nothing but praising Jesus Christ, giving honor to whom honor is due. And on that road to Damascus, Saul killed more people than most of us can count. He destroyed. I'm just trying to get you a light to see about what evil can do. Because there's something else about this man we're going to talk about. Now, Saul was traveling on the road with one thing in mind on the Damascus Road. The Bible said that he was headed down Damascus Road, and it, him and his pricks. Well, pricks is his sidekicks, his road dogs, his buddies. They were on a one-way road going down to do what they do, to humiliate the Christian population. But you see, the Bible says in the midst of that road that he was traveling on, see, Saul planned his will. But he didn't think that there was a higher will. That he had no control over nothing that he done. So now, Saul get this encounter. The Bible says in verse 4 in Acts 9, it says that, and he fell unto the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecute thou me? Okay, Jesus Christ is speaking now to this demon. And Jesus asked the question, why? And verse 5 says, and he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus. So Saul had no idea who Jesus was. Verse 6 shows that Jesus Christ introduced himself to Saul when he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecuted. Then Saul asked him, he said, who are you? So when you ask the question, who are you? And you say, I am me, that's an introduction. So in verse 6, the Bible says, and he trembled and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go to the city, and it shall be told what thou must do. See, Saul was one of the few people God didn't give the privilege of choosing which way you want to go. See, he was chosen. And most of the warriors on God's battlefield, God allows us a choice to either choose him or not to. But he told Saul that I have spoken that you shall be told what to do. And Saul, the Bible says further down in the text that when he hit the ground, the Bible says the light shined about him and scales came across his eyes. He was blinded. He was blinded, the Bible says, by the light and from the light. Because Jesus Christ didn't have in mind for Saul to see him. See, he wanted Saul to walk by faith and not by sight. So the reason why the Lord do what he do, because you see, God knew the day would come when he would only be here 33 years and 6 months, and the rest of the world must travel by faith. Now, on this journey to hell, because that's where he was headed, he was astonished, the Bible say. He was shaken up. He didn't know what hit him. But you know, I'm dwelling here for a second because, you know, it's a great thing when our Lord and Savior can look beyond all our faults and come to our knees. Here is a man that persecuted God, but yet, Lord, show compassion. What a mighty God we serve. Now, the journey is starting to intervene. You see, he was changing directions in the middle of the road. See, I imagine that back in the journey of where he was headed to Damascus, he had already notified his friends, his pricks, that we coming to town. And when we get there, we're going to wreak havoc. So y'all be ready. But you see, what he didn't know was his pricks got pricked. And you see what Satan mean for harm, God mean it for good. But on that journey, on that road, there were some changes about to take place. And because God didn't allow it to be physical, it's a spiritual. You see, on that road of heartache and pain, God's word stands true that he had never put more on us than we can bear. And he spared those Christians in Jerusalem. Oh, yes, he did. The word gives accountability for the fact that Saul's buddies was waiting in the town of Damascus. Now, remember, this was a traveling man. Saul journeyed from Jerusalem all the way to Rome. He crossed the Mediterranean Sea. He been to more countries than most people been to cities. So he was well aware of where he was headed. He knew where he was going. He just didn't have the right leader. See, everybody's headed somewhere, but it's who guiding you is the problem. Praise God. You see now, but even on that journey, Saul went on into Damascus. But he went in a different way than he started out. You see, he came in a devil. And the Bible said that Jesus told him, I will tell you what to do. Okay? And later on in the text, you see, the Bible says that Saul was ordered to go into town to see a man named Ananias, who will direct what he should do. Yes. Now remember now, Saul at this time, he's probably historic. Don't know what hit him. Now he don't know where he going. He know the town he going to, but his new direction, he don't have a clue. Because it wasn't designed by him. Amen. You see, the Holy Ghost is a powerful thing. Yes. You see, it'll lead you even when you don't know where you going. Amen. And the Bible says that after Saul was converted, and now his heart is on the other side. So now the Bible says that he enters into Damascus with a different heart, a different person, a different personality. So you can see how easy it would be for both sides to want to kill him, because the prince was angry because he defied them. You didn't come down to Damascus Road to praise God. You came here to kill him. What kind of traitor are you? And you can imagine the Christian heart. He done slewed all them people, family. Well, I don't want you around me either, but thank God we don't have that heart. Praise God. Then the Bible says that that the Lord Jesus Christ told Saul that, and he said in a vision, and a man named Ananias coming into and putting his hands on him, that he may receive his sight. Okay, then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard of many of this man, and I'm reading verse 12, I had heard of many of this man, how much evil he had done to thy saints at Jerusalem. Now notice, now Ananias is telling him that this man have done what he done. Okay? Now he's talking to the Lord. And here he had authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. Bind means to arrest and persecute them, charge them, and to do what it is you do with them. It wasn't a good thing from this high priest. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is chosen vessel unto me. You have to serve a mighty good God. That's forgiveness. Right in the middle of a will. That is forgiveness. Because God, at this time, the Lord Jesus Christ knew all about what Saul was going to do. And you see, he seen something in Saul that no other man did. But that's why he God. And you see, that's why, you see, when you want to criticize, we got to know who we criticizing, because we don't know when the word come from God for us to convert our hearts. Now, Saul here had a call of conversion. And that Jesus Christ himself ordered Saul to change his heart. And when Jesus ordered, it is done. And you see, so now the word bear record to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel is what Jesus commanded him, you go out in the world now. The same people that you were kicking up against me, you go preach the gospel to them. See, Saul, I know you're a traveling man. I know you're a man that knows your way around. I know you're a faithful man to whatever it is you do. I said faithful to what you do. I didn't say what he doing was right. But he was faithful to what he done. So the Lord knew one thing, that if he called on Saul to do something, and Saul had a one-track mind, to do what it was on his heart. He didn't change his mind on his own. God had to do it. See, because once he was convinced that what he's doing was right, it was on. Well, and then the Lord further instructed him in verse 16, he said, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. God knows that suffering is upon us, that we will bear trials and tribulations in our lives, because he was a leading example of suffering. Amen? You see, so he forewarned Paul that you would have to deal with these things. Now Paul didn't have a choice, so the calling was spoken. And then Ananias baptized Saul after the conversion. Now, if you recall, I told you a conversion is to change from something to something. Well, Ananias baptized him because Jesus Christ was baptized. And so now Saul is getting ready to do the works of him that called him. And on this journey that he was on, he realized that men, women, boys, and girls would look at him from different perspectives. See, in fact, Saul had to be a sort of confusion for him a little later, because when somebody says Saul, he don't know if that's the ones that calling him to come persecute or the ones that commending him for being a Christian. You know, it's a bad and a good thing to have a good and a bad name. Praise God. You see now, so Saul gets prepared to march on down this road. Well, you see now, on this road, after the baptism, the Bible say that, straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. Now, in these synagogues, he's preaching to the very people that he was going to persecute. I don't know about you today, but I would have a hard time. Praise God. And as we move on down this road, we're going to come to some understandings about this man named Saul. Well, you see now, Saul, the more that they start saying, you are the persecutor, he preached, the Bible said, increasingly more Jesus Christ. Amen. You see now, he knew he was in an uphill battle from this point. Because see now, he didn't get a fair shake like me where I can start from a decent standpoint. He had already had a name all around the land. Not to trust him. So, you know, he had a difficult journey. Praise God. And you see, but he remained. So, the Bible says, Barnabas and Saul got together, the Bible says in the 11th chapter of Acts, that they got together to assemble with the church at Antioch. So now things are starting to change. He's starting to get his movement going for the Lord. Because again, there is a difference in being converted and having a heart of repentance. You see, because we can convert from a Catholic to a Baptist or from a Methodist to a Jew, yes. But the works may stop at the conversion.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Praise God. Yes. You see, so now he done hooked up with Barnabas. And